Signal, Pat. I'm now pleased to welcome our speaker. Welcome to the Sunday night There Is a Solution newcomer and returning members meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. Visit our website at oaontario.org, where you find this audio recording, additional podcasts, and a place to donate to keep this special service active. The opinions expressed are those of individual OA members and do not represent OA as a whole. Our speaker today is a compulsive overeater and a member who has at least 6 months of abstinence, has recovered through the directions in the Big Book, and maintains recovery on a daily basis. After the share, there will be time to make a comment or ask a question about the OA program or what the speaker has shared. Welcome, DNF, a compulsive overeater from New York.
Hey, everybody. Wow, it's so cool to be able to come to Canada and not have to leave my house. I like it. Because it's cold here too, so I don't want to go from cold to colder. Well, I am Deanne F., and I currently live in Long Island, New York. I am originally actually from California. I'm actually originally born and bred in the San Fernando Valley, which is where this program started. And you know, this is a big birthday coming up. And it's only a little bit older than me. And you know, I actually started my journey in OA in Los Angeles, because that's where I'm from. And I just first want to say thank you for to Jessica for asking me to speak, because I actually had a previous speaking engagement last year, all the way in 2024. And she asked me if I couldn't do it then. And she asked if I would do it. And I feel very honored to be the first speaker of this new year. And the first thing that I just want to say is welcome. And, you know, I mean that like from the bottom of my heart. You know, I really remember what it was like walking in these rooms. And of course, there were only in-person meetings then, not even phone meetings. I came in these rooms, like I want to say 38 years ago. So it was definitely really different. But still, you know, some things remain, like the 12 steps. So it was different, but not that different. And what I want to just say, speaking about the 12 steps to all newcomers, and especially if you're like a brand new newcomer and you don't know, like, essentially kind of much about this, and listening to the steps could be like a lot. I know it was a lot for me. And when I first came in too, you know, because it was an in-person meeting, there was, you know, a big, I can't remember what they call it now, shades. They put these big things on the wall with the actual steps on them. So you were basically staring at the steps like the whole time in these meetings. And it was a lot, and it was very confusing. So what I just want to say to you, if you're a newcomer, is that this will actually all make sense to you if you actually believe that this is where you belong. And when you listen to other people's stories, you will be able to know if this is a place that you belong. And that's what this big book, you know, you've probably heard of that. Actually, mine's not blue anymore. It's a special version that you write in. But you know, the big book is the textbook. It's the guidebook. It's the everything for how to actually have a life that is second to none, and to have a spiritual life, which may or may not be what you're looking for as a newcomer in this program, because it wasn't what I was looking for. I just wanted to, you know, basically, I think then I kind of probably just really wanted to understand why I thought about food all the time. And I was always thinking about other people's body size and my own. And how I could eat whatever I wanted and not gain weight. Like, that's just, I'm just telling to you straight, you know, I was 19 years old. So really that's what I came in here looking for, was a way to be able to, you know, like stop being crazy about food. And also be skinny. Like, you know, that was a goal. And so I just want to invite you to, you know, have an open mind. Have an open mind as you listen. And most importantly, have an open heart. Because what is really found in this program is found with your heart. Even though you're coming in for reasons that don't seem like they're, you know, heart connected or spiritual, that's what you're going to find here. Like, beyond your wildest imagination, no matter where you are and how dark it is, or how, you know, just you'd like to not be so uncomfortable all the time, there's something here for anyone who wants it and who will actually open their mind and their heart to like receive what is in this book. And it's directions. It's like instructions. Nobody's just like, you know, throwing you out there and saying, oh, well, you know, you figure it out and then, you know, you'll be recovered. Like, there's instructions. So this is a little different share because, you know, I've been here a long time and I've been sharing for a long time. But, you know, since Zoom or even in person, I have never shared pictures ever, ever, ever. But my sponsor, who is here and who is being my tech support person, because I was like, I have pictures and I want to show them. She's like, okay, let's do it. So here we go. And wow, that was fast. Okay, so we're going to start with the pictures. Okay, so that is me in the pigtails. That is my father, God bless him, in the Mickey Mouse suit. And that's my sister in the middle. And that's me. And I want to say that I was just about maybe 10 years old. And I was what would be in that picture. I was already 5'6" at 10 years old. And so I was, you can see, I mean, I was skinny. I definitely didn't have a weight problem. I had a mind problem. Even though I didn't have weight, I had the thinking and the behavior of a compulsive overeater. My mom, God bless her too, was very restrictive in what would seem now like a good way. She only let us have things that didn't have preservatives and all, you know, all the bad stuff. So we were, you know, not allowed to have a lot of things that other people did. And so, you know, I thought about food all the time. I snuck food whenever I could. I climbed up on the shelf to where I knew the cake mix was, because that was the only thing that had white sugar in it in our house, and it was only for your birthday. And I was already at like 5 years old climbing up there and trying to get it. And so I wanted to show you my size at 10 years old, because I stopped growing after that. So I've been the same height since I was 10. So that's when my body changed. So this is a picture that is from 11 years ago. So this was me in Las Vegas with my family. And I honestly, I don't think I realized, like, I was always on the roller coaster of thinking either, you know, I was like, you know, overweight, but not like grossly overweight. And I want to say, you know, at the top amount of weight that was extra for me was probably between 60 and 70 pounds. So this is one picture in 2011, and then we'll keep going here. Oh, wait, they're not in order. Of course they're not, because I didn't put them in order. Okay, wait, go back. You're going to see all these in a second, but I want you to see some of the other the other pictures. Okay. It's all right. Okay. So maybe that's the only one that you're actually going to see what I looked like when I was carrying the weight that I was carrying. So these next pictures that you're going to see are everything basically post 2015, because 2015 is when I came to Vision for You for the first time in my life. And if you don't know what Vision for You is, it's a telephone meeting that has been really the foundation stone of my recovery. So it was only on the telephone though. And what they did on the telephone was talk about the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. Now, I had already been in OA for a long time, but we never used the big book. I hadn't ever gone to a meeting that used it. So when I was exposed to Vision for You, that's when I started to learn about the big book. And so we'll just go through these quick and then I'll tell you more about my journey. So what you're going to see now in the rest of these pictures is all the different years post 2015. This is actually just 2 years ago. This is a friend of mine from California that is one of my sisters in recovery. You're going to see a lot of what happens, not only to your life. This was a show house. I'm an interior designer that I did it 2 years ago. So I've been able to maintain this body size. I think you recognize this girl. She's in our meeting right now. And this, the one on the right, was just at my house just about 4 weeks ago. The other one was at a Vision for You conference. And you can see how, oh, this was my first sponsor at Vision for You, who I didn't meet until I met her at a convention 2 years after I'd been working with her. So you can absolutely have a full recovery on the phone, and now you can have one on Zoom. So this is possible. So I want you to see this. Like, this is the amount of like love and support and, you know, amazing connection that you can make even without being in person. But when you do finally get to meet people, it's amazing. And then this was actually the year that I was recovered. This was my daughter's sweet 16. So basically, it was only about 8 months from the time of the first picture that you saw to this picture. And I think that's it. So we'll get that a little more in order, but I think you get the general idea. It's not like I'm in here saying that, you know, I didn't have any weight to lose, because I definitely did. But what I do think is a really important message for everyone to understand about my recovery is that it wasn't a straight line. You know, I was able to stay within, you know, 10 or 15 pounds of the original weight that I lost, but I did not have full recovery for all of these 10 years. And it is really just important to let you know that it didn't have to be that way, but this is my story. And the one of the reasons why I tell you this is because it's also really important to understand that how you look on the outside isn't really entirely indicative of what's going on the inside. And so this program takes, you know, work, it takes effort, and it takes surrender most of all. And sometimes when your body looks like it's a normal size, you can also, you know, hear a lot of lies about how you really don't have an issue and everything's okay. But the truth is that this disease lives, you know, up here. And this mental obsession that they talk about in the doctor's opinion, you know, this is the first chapter in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. And it's so important to really read this chapter with someone who has experienced this, because this is where we actually start to have some understanding of the nature of this sickness that we have, and that it is actually a sickness. It is an allergy of the body and an obsession of the mind. It isn't one or the other. So, you know, in this book, it describes to you a lot of ways that our bodies react to food in ways that people that do not have this issue don't. And for me, part of the way that manifested is that if there was something that I had a bite of, or I saw somebody else eating, my mind would just go over and over and over and over it until I could actually get it. I could never actually stop the obsessive part. And then if I ingested it and I continued to ingest it, the allergy that we have is one that is so strange and so really hard to understand if you don't have this, which is, you know, Melissa explains this really well. I hope I'm going to be able to do it as well as she says, which is that normal people, you know, will eat and then they will get to a point of feeling full, and that will be their signal to stop eating. But if you have this disease, the opposite is true. You will eat and then your feeling of fullness actually starts that uncontrollable urge to continue to eat. And, you know, there is like, you know, I didn't hear that described that way for a long time. And when I finally did, it really, like, I was like, wow, yes, that's exactly what happens to me. And it is a form of insanity because your body is giving you all of the signals to that you're done. And all that does is just compel you to eat more. So, you know, this is definitely, you know, one of the major symptoms of having this allergy of the body that then creates the obsession of the mind. And then they just feed off of each other in a really vicious circle. And so that is, you know, some of the explanation of the disease that we have. And the truth of what we find when we come here is that we can actually have a solution to this malady that we have, but that the solution isn't just in your mind. The solution is in the belief and the willingness to believe that you don't actually have power to stop. Because if you did, then, you know, when you started to feel full, you would just be able to be like a normal person and say, okay, now I'm done. But we don't have that ability. That is the powerlessness that they talk about in this chapter. You know, that no amount of willpower, no amount of self-talk, nothing, you know, no amount of getting anything taken away from you or being given anything, no human power. So that's your own power, and it's also any other human power, cannot actually stop this trajectory. And it will continue because we have no defense against this. And later chapters discuss this, but this chapter first helps us to identify, like, you know, and just like an allergy that is, let's say, an anaphylactic allergy. Each time that gets triggered, and you need obviously an EpiPen if you have that kind of life-threatening allergy, is you get worse every time you have. Even if you use an EpiPen, the allergy progresses. And that is what happens in our disease too. So every binge just further progresses the disease. So we need an intervention that isn't human. And that's what they talk about in this chapter. And what's so amazing is that it is an actual doctor that is speaking in this chapter. This is his opinion. And back in, I think it's 1937, please do not quote me on the date. 34, sorry, it says so right there. This was a very big deal for a medical doctor to go out on a limb and say that this is a problem that has a spiritual, that appears to have a spiritual answer and not just hospitalization or everything that they had tried up until that time. So it was nothing short of a miracle that this doctor was willing to humble himself and give us this amazing program that is going to actually save our lives. And it can save anyone's life that is on this line right now. Like, your requirement is just to actually allow yourself to admit that it might be possible that you don't have any power over this, and that there is some power that may be able to help you. And, there's a lot of people sitting here too who have access to this power. And they get access to this power from learning in this book about what these steps are and how they can actually help you to find a power that is greater than yourself, that can relieve this form of insanity that you have. And that is what we need. We need relief, and relief from this mental obsession and this physical allergy is just the very beginning of what happens in your life as you continue to actually work these steps. Now, like, the transformation that happens is something that is definitely, like, hard to imagine when you are still in this brutal struggle with food. And so it tells us in our book that we're gonna actually need to have some separation from continuing to activate this allergy. Just like if you had, a regular allergy, if you continued to ingest whatever that allergic ingredient is, you're going to continue to have the allergic symptoms. So, this chapter tells us about, needing to have essentially what is a clearing. And that seems really daunting. And I'm not going to tell you that it is not. It is. Like, that's why we, if you have been to meetings or if you have been here before, people say, it's a lot better to stay here than to leave and come back because, getting abstinent again is even harder because your disease has progressed. But if you're just here, like, in this is your first meeting, which I think it was Sarah that said that it was her first meeting. Like, what I want to say to you is that, first of all, this is a self-diagnosis program. No one can tell you that you have this disease. No one can help you to believe that you have this disease. No one can convince you that you have this disease. Like, we have to be able to say that even if you're not 100% sure that you have it, you're at least open to the possibility that you do have this and that you don't have control over it. So that's why the first step is we admitted that we were powerless and that our lives, not and, that our lives were unmanageable. And what I can tell you about the first step is that admitting powerlessness is kind of not the way we're wired. So nobody runs in going, I can't wait to admit that I'm powerless. You know, that's not really how human nature, you know, works. And that the truth is that if we look back on it, just like I'm talking about, like if we really look back on all of these times when we were in a binge or in a restrictive, you know, situation, that we could have just stopped like that and not continued this pain. Wouldn't we have done that if it was possible for us to do? How many times have we suffered? And so, you know, if that's your truth, then it becomes a little bit easier to say, you know what? I think I don't have power over this because when it happens, I feel like it's a freight train and there's no way that I can actually, you know, hold it back. So that's one part of this. And what I'll say that's really important is the word admit. You know, I don't know if any of you remember, although they still do give like tickets, but you know, if you want to go to the movies, you needed a ticket or the theater that said admit. And it says admit one. And like, this is what we have to do first is this admission, but only you can actually admit it. So we admit, and the admitting is literally the admission to start this relief process. Because if you don't admit that you need help, you cannot get any. It's not possible. All the help is actually here. It's in the reading of the pages of this book. It's promised to us, and we all help each other. That's how this program was designed, is one suffering addict to another. So the first thing is, if you truly believe that you need help, you have found a place where you can access help, but you can't access it without admitting it. So that's the first part of step one. Second part of step one is that our lives had become unmanageable, and many people struggle with that particular word because lots of people get here and like, some things in their life seem manageable, and some of them seem like very manageable. A lot of people have jobs and they have homes and they have mortgages and they have families and they have, and it seems like, well, it's not really unmanageable. But what is unmanageable is this disease, this compulsion. And as you work more in the steps, you start to see where, like, you know, your life isn't as manageable as you actually think that it is. That you find out as you go through this. But the truth is that all you need in that step one is just really that entire kind of like throwing your hands up and going, I haven't been able to do it. And there isn't really, it doesn't really seem like there's any hope that I am going to be able to do it myself. But this is where the hope is. Like they wrote this book in 1934, and people have been getting access to power ever since the day that they wrote this book. But you have to first ask for the help, admit that whatever you're doing or what you have done up until now has not worked. And so we're willing to have an open mind. And, you know, there's a part that says in here, you know, we have to be as open-minded, you know, as the dying can be. And that means that, you know, when you're drowning, you know, you actually, in order to be rescued, you have to stop like moving because they can't actually help you out of the water if you're, you know, fighting. So we have to actually stop the fighting. Like, that's just the first thing is like literally giving up your idea of what you could do or what someone else could do for you to actually surrender that old idea and become open to the new ideas that are in this book. If you identify with anything that I am saying, don't just open this book. If you don't have this book, you could definitely get one, but reach out and call someone or leave your number in the chat because we need a guide for this program. That's the way it was designed, was that one sufferer of this disease helps another one. And to unlock the treasure that is in this big book with another human being who has your same disease, who struggles the same way that you do. Your circumstances may not be the same, but the actual inside of how it feels to experience this disease is something that if you are here and you can admit that you are powerless, we all have. And
Oh, there's my music. Where's my gold globe? I want
it now. Wow, that went fast. See, now I know why they said, do you want me to let you know? So, what I just want to say is, I really am just so grateful to be able to speak here. And I hope that there was a little something that anyone could take from what I said. And it's literally, it's funny, but this was just a taste. Now come on in, connect with people and find out that you have a miracle in this too. Your miracle is here. So thank you for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you so much, Dan, for speaking at our meeting. And